Hello, everyone. Today is Monday, April 28th. My name is Mark Tomaszewski, and I am filling in for Robert Zuluaga as running the board, running the recording. And we are anticipating that Robert will be joining us in a minute or two. But in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and get started so that we can stay on schedule. I welcome everyone who is on the call. I see we have a few people joining us here. Welcome, everyone. And I'm going to start out opening with some prayer. So we just come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that we can assemble together and we can pray and we can speak your word and we can encourage one another in the Spirit, in the Word, and fellowship one to another, and encourage one another to do the work that you have called us to do, Father, because you have called each one of us to something very special. Father, tonight I pray that you would guide all of our thoughts as we keep our minds and eyes and our ears focused on hearing from the Spirit, and that everything that is spoken tonight on this call will be an absolute blessing to all those who listen. And we just thank you, Father. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So while we are waiting to see if Robert comes on, I'm going to leave the microphones open unless I hear some background noise. If you can all do me a favor, if you're not speaking, could you mute yourself? And I appreciate that. On your phone, you can hit the mute button, or if you're on some other device, I don't know, just figure out how to mute yourself. If not, I can mute you if I hear background noise, and I thank you for that. So I want to start out tonight. I just want to talk about something that's on my heart. Recently, Robert Zuluaga and I...
Anybody want to bring up anything in regards to what may be going on in their state, either good or bad, to talk about?
Okay, hang on a second. I got to mute somebody there. There we go. Okay, sorry about that. I'm looking at the board and trying to figure out where the background noise was coming from. I apologize. So I wanted to speak. I have a Bible study that I teach, and our focus is a lot on people who are struggling with long-term painful adversity in their lives and physical healing in their bodies. And so recently, I was talking about something and sharing with my wife, and we were just realizing what the Word of God is so powerful, but yet there are so many people that are struggling. Especially, I want to address the concept of long-term, sustained, painful, drawn-out healing, and some people that are suffering from long-term chronic things. And I wanted to just give some words of encouragement from the Lord. As I was speaking to somebody recently, I had this particular person struggling with something for 20 years, and she said, why is it that people don't get healed when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so much and in his word? And I said, wow, this is a great, wonderful question, and we could talk about this subject for hours. But I just wanted to encourage you that really the biggest thing that I have found out, and this is just from, you know, 15 years of healing ministry and just praying for hundreds, if not thousands, of people through Bible studies or street ministry, is that a lot of times people just don't know what they don't know. And sometimes we hinder ourselves through our unbelief. But I wanted to talk specifically about faith versus unbelief. And I am just speaking spontaneously, knowing from my own journey of being healed from many, many things over the last 20 years, that faith and believing in God's word is one thing. And I believe that everyone who knows the Lord and reads the Bible can say, I believe. And so there is also an opposite force in our life called unbelief. Unbelief can hinder the power of God flowing in our life. And unbelief can come in different categories through either ignorance or bad teaching or just normal tragic events or painful, long-term, drawn-out, unanswered prayer. And it's just in unbelief. And I want to address that. How do we deal with unbelief? And the unbelief can be dealt with by the Word of God, by the power of God that comes through His Word. And a mentor of mine a few years ago said to me, Mark, the answer is simple. You must get it settled in your heart that Jesus is King, He is my Lord, and I am healed by His stripes. And that's it, period. And he said, once you get that settled, you shift from, instead of trying to be healed and climb and scrape your way to the top of the hill to get healed, you shift from that to knowing I am the healed of the Lord and I am defending my position and my right to stay healed. So devil, take your hands off of my body. That's a significant shift that occurs in your mind and your heart that you must entertain, because you will go through trials. You will go through adversity where you will be tempted to fall into unbelief. And I'm not necessarily going to get into a bunch of the scriptures about that now, but we could go a deep dive on that. And the scriptures are very clear that the disciples struggled with unbelief at times. And Jesus called them faithless and perverse generation. Well, we're not going to go there. I'm not going to call anybody that. But I have been that person where I was struggling with unbelief, because many years ago I was diagnosed with severe spinal arthritis. And I struggled for 10 or 12 years. And I went to every kind of doctor I could imagine. But I ran out of money, became very poor, and I was none the better until I was mentored by one man. And out of that freedom, he kept saying to me, is it settled in your heart yet? And I said yes in my mind, but in reality, it wasn't settled yet. But I remember when it got settled in my heart that the word is true, and my circumstance is a lie, I started praying for other people, and I started a healing ministry, and I was on the phone 3-4 hours a day for a long time, and traveling all over our little state of Montana, going and praying for anybody that I could. And you know what? In the process of that, I became supernaturally healed and without anyone praying for me, because my belief level was so powerful. My faith was so strong that my unbelief went to zero. And that's what I wanted to encourage you all with tonight, that in the name of Jesus, you are healed of the Lord. And no matter what you're going through, the word does not change. Do not change the word to bring it to your circumstance, but elevate your circumstance to the word and receive that which God has decreed for you, health and healing and blessing and prosperity, sanctification and full redemption through the mighty name of Jesus. And can I get an amen somewhere?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You. Thank you for that. So let me look through the list here and see, do we have Robert Zuluaga on the call yet? I am looking. Hello to everyone who just dialed in while I was talking. Hello, hello. Let's see. I do not see Robert on the call. So we're just going to keep going ahead with this. And I want to let all of you that have just come on that Robert Zuluaga is doing some traveling, and he was in and out of cell service, and we are anticipating that he was going to be able to join us. And we still believe that he will. But right now he's not, so we're going to just keep moving forward. So right now I would like to open up to Bruce Dietler to share with us the from the Hebraic calendar and share with us the teaching for the day. And I also have this pulled up on my computer, and I want to encourage you all, if you want to know where these teachings are from, you go to the Republic for the United States of America website. And you then scroll to the right side and you can see Divine Providence, and you click on Divine Providence. And then when you see Robert Zuluaga's face show up, then you scroll down below that and you will see the title Scriptures for the Healing of the Nation -calendar. And if you click on that, a very large document will pop up with a calendar of teachings that has been put together for many years. And so, Bruce, I want to invite you to go ahead and cover whatever you feel is good for the calendar today. So the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, sir. The last day of the Hebraic month of Nisan is today, April 28th. So the new calendar IR starts tomorrow. That calendar will be out within the next couple of days. It's in process right now. So you won't have it yet in the morning, but it will be coming in a couple of days. So be looking for that. It will be a good one. Anyway, the last day of the month here, Nisan 30, is a selection from a recent broadcast of Give Him 15 from Dutch Sheets. And this is relating with building the Iron Dome of Prayer. It begins with saying, a couple of weeks ago, my friend Jay Comiskey sent me a post regarding the building of an Iron Dome shield of intercession over our nation. Jay has sent a follow-up post giving further and very practical information to aid us in doing so. The title of the post is, appropriately, Building the Iron Dome of Prayer. He said, several years ago, a friend and former U.S. senator shared with Dutch that he could tell by the spiritual atmosphere, in quotes, of Washington, D.C., when believers were praying and when they weren't. He said, as best as Dutch can remember, the church becomes engaged in prayer during elections and at other significant times. They pray us into the office, then slack off and leave us on our own with little or no prayer support. He said, very sobering and totally correct. However, I am encouraged and hopeful that the prayer army has gone to a new level of internationality and perseverance, intentionality and perseverance, and will follow through on our prayer assignments after the recent election of November 5th, 2024. Israel's Iron Dome. I recently shared about Israel's remarkable missile defense system, the Iron Dome. During a surprise attack on Israel last year, Iran fired over 300 missiles on the Jewish people. However, the Iron Dome missile system shot down over 99% of Iran's rockets before they hit the ground. Since October 7th of 2023, when Hamas conducted the brutal surprise attack against the Jewish people, Israel has shot down the vast majority of missiles, rockets, and drones fired at them. He says, let me read a summary of Israel's defensive missile system once again. I quote Guy Cohen, a messianic Jewish leader from Israel, who describes this amazing system. And quoting from Guy Cohen, he says, Israel now has a multi-layered defense array. Our current system is surprisingly effective against almost all attacks from missiles, rockets, and UAVs. The IDF armor consists of the following defensive weapons. Number one is the Iron Dome. Two is David's sling. And three, the Arrow defense system. He says they each cover various distances, from close-range missiles all the way up to threats at the edge of the atmosphere. Currently, yet another level is being developed, laser technology. Interesting note, one of the original names considered for their missile defense system was called the Golden Dome. They settled on Iron Dome instead. This Iron Dome can be a parallel model or picture of what Holy Spirit wants to help us build through prayer. God's prayer army can create an Iron Dome shield of intercession to protect President Trump, his agenda, and our great country. Back to basics. Here are some of the basics of prayer that will help bring forth this strong defense for the USA and our leaders. And then he has a number listed here, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. So number one, intentionality. We must daily give ourselves in intercession to protect the things God has called us to steward. I appreciate the comments of two Given 15 listeners and their efforts to be consistent in praying for President Trump. One listener states, I have been praying a dome of protection over the USA for a couple of months now as I drive Monday through Friday. Look at what the Lord has done, and all I did was pray. Another listener writes, from another ministry, I learned to set my alarm clock to 12 noon and make that a time to pray for President Trump each day. Daily simple habits are what make the difference. Though the election is over, these prayer warriors carry on daily to cover our president and protect him by prayer. Point number two, think higher, not harder. Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Also, together is mentioned twice in verse 6. We need the involvement, the prayers, and revelation God is giving all his ecclesia around the world. Together, Holy Spirit wants to develop and implement principles of intercession that will help protect every nation. Heavenly places, we can access the wisdom of God's throne room daily for any assignment Holy Spirit gives us. He knows exactly how to build, quote, iron dome shields of intercession and wants to share the insights. After all, America and the nations are his inheritance, according to Psalm 2. Number three, prophetic prayer. Enabled by God's gifts, we'll hit the target. Then several points under this. Number one, 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says, let's stir up the gifts of Holy Spirit given to us for building an iron dome of prayer for the USA. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. And they include the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles and healing, gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And in point number three, leadership gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:28. Prophetic words, dreams, and so on help us, quote, hit the target and pray effectively. Point number four, keep it simple, not weird. KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, saint. Sometimes we can overly complicate a prayer assignment until we create spiritual gridlock in our souls or in prayer meetings. Simple kingdom prayers can release God's will on earth. Here's one example of a simple prayer we can declare over our president and over all leadership. This will be the prayer for today's post. Notice that the primary aspect of this prayer is decreeing powerful scriptures in faith. And the prayer begins here. Heavenly Father, and he has 6 points here. He said, I pray and decree your, quote, iron dome shield of divine protection over President Trump and his administration. Holy Spirit, we are asking for your wisdom and revelation to pray this shield over him and over America. Lord, you are our shield of protection, according to Genesis 15:1. Point two, I declare all your authority in heaven and earth, Matthew 28:18, be released over our president, his cabinet, and their families. May Trump's agenda for America be empowered by your grace and wisdom. Number three, let your kingdom come and your will be done, Matthew 6, 9-10, through our president. And four, we the ecclesia declare that no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against him in judgment is now condemned, according to Isaiah 54:17. Number five, may your agenda, may your angels carry out your plans for America. May your angel armies, Psalm 103, 20-21, protect our president and do your will throughout our country. And point six, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. He who is able to accomplish more than we can ask, think, or pray for President Trump and the USA, and who does so according to his power, working in, and I might add, through us, according to Ephesians 3:20. It is time to build and operate our own Iron Dome shield of intercession over our country. America will be saved. And that is the end of his post. And just picking up on one scripture here, he said in the last one of the last points here, talking about Psalm 103:20, the ministering angels hearken to the voice of the word. That is the word of God. That is not my word or your word. Our words don't matter. It's the word of God that puts the enemy to flight. The other point that I would make on this is that we can ask God all we want to protect the president, or in the case of the republic, protect the republic and those who are in positions in the republic to protect that. God has given us the authority. He's given us the responsibility to do the work. And he has sent us to, you know, to bind up and to loose, to bind up principalities, powers, might, and dominion, and all of that, and to loose his will upon the earth. We can speak the word of God over the president, over Jim Geiger, over who else the Lord would put on our hearts and on our minds. But the responsibility is ours. He has already done the work, and he said, now you do it. I have given you the authority, and that is in our ballpark, each one of us. You don't have to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You just have to be a believer in Yeshua, in Jesus, and speak his word in faith from the heart in authority that has been given to us. So glory to God. Thank you, Father, for that. Mark.
All right. Wow. Thank you, Bruce, and thank you for your commentary on that. And I agree with that. Amen. Certainly. Hallelujah on that. I wanted to, as you were pulling up, you mentioned a scripture, I wanted to add one that ties to that, for we are to be continually being alert, awake, sober, and vigilant. And I was just thinking of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, that, I mean, at 6:10, Ephesians 6:10 talks about the armor of God, how we are to put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand in the evil day. But in verse 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's a number of words all in there a couple times, praying always with all prayer. And that was in the New King James Version. And if I go to the Passion Translation, I found that really quite interesting. It says, embrace the same verse, 6:17, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all the believers. Verse 19, and pray also that God's revelation would be released through me every time I preach the wonderful mystery of the hope-filled gospel. So how I'm tying this together is that the power of the prayer of the saints, we have a need to be watchful and vigilant, and be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary as a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he may devour. And when that, the wording of that is whom he may devour, I want to ask you folks listening, can he devour you? Can he devour your friends? Can he devour your family? And it should be a resounding no, he cannot, because I am vigilant. I am sober. I pay attention. I am not ignorant of the evil one and his ways. And this connects to something else that I was just recently teaching about, how someone else was struggling with healing in their body, and I was trying to lovingly coach them through a situation where I said, where they said to me, "I know the Word of God says this and this, comma, but." And what they said afterward negated what they just said. They were really believing and speaking what they saw with their eyes and felt with their body and their circumstances that they were going through, rather than saying, "I know that I am sick, but, comma, the Word of God says I am healed." And you can see how a person believes by what they speak. This brings me to something that I wanted to cover just a little bit here. I have a teaching that I call, "You Shall Have Whatsoever You Say." And this is a very much a punchy teaching, simply using the Word of God to show you how powerful your words are. There is a process where we must learn the Word of God, but then we must deploy the Word of God to deflect the fiery darts of the enemy. And so I have a list here of something like 45 scriptures that talk about the power of your tongue. And it's amazing when you go through through these, we all will be convicted of how we can improve the words that we speak. Because the Word of God is powerful when it comes out your mouth. But if it don't come out your mouth, then it doesn't have any power. We need to allow the Word of God to come out, especially when we are in adversity. So I wanted to share just a couple scriptures that jump out on me to align with staying sober, be vigilant, and speak words of faith, protecting your family and pushing back the darkness. So, Proverbs Chapter 4, verse 24. It says, "Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you." Proverbs 6, verse 2. "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Proverbs 10, verses 31 and 32 says this, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse." Proverbs 12, verse 13, "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escape from trouble." Proverbs 12, 14, "From the fruit of his mouth a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him." Proverbs 13, verse 2, "From the fruit of his mouth a man eats what is good, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence." Proverbs 13, verse 3, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Proverbs 15, verse 1, says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." I'm going to stop there with Proverbs, because what was that, maybe 10 that I listed? And I have another 10 from Proverbs, and it just shows you the power, or excuse me, the importance that the Lord puts on what words you speak. I'm not saying to go around speaking and denying what exists, but I deny what exists to have the right to control my life, because the Word of God says. Just because we have circumstances that are negative does not mean we need to have a negative mouth or be a stinking thinking, I guess I would say. But let's go on now to a few in the New Testament, a few scriptures that Jesus said. One of my favorites is Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37. Actually, I'm going to go to verse 34. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Verse 35, "The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Well, I don't know about you folks, but that is very convicting that we can all improve upon what comes out of our mouth. Are we speaking faith, or are we just observing what we see and speaking what we see? Are we speaking faith? Are we speaking victory in the name of Jesus? Or are we simply speaking what we have instead of having what we say? Let me say that again. You can either speak what you have, or you can have what you speak. And I think it's very clear in Scripture that we need to be people of faith, and even when things aren't going the way we want. Mark 11:23 says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Notice the first part of that verse says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain." I want to encourage some of you, I don't know, but most of you know this, maybe not, but you speak to your mountain. You don't speak to God about your mountain. You speak to your mountain and say, "Get out of the way in the name of Jesus. My God is far superior. You have no power here." Because for many years, I was speaking to God about, "Get this mountain out of my way, God. Get the devil off my back, God." And I seemed to have not much results. But when I recognize his authority that he delegated to me, he says, "You speak to your mountain and tell it to be taken up and thrown into the sea." And we started having significant differences. And fast forward 20 years, praise the Lord, we can see the power of the spoken word in our lives. And I say, thank you, Lord, for that. So what I want to do right now is I want to open up and ask a few people to speak on this same subject, how the word of God has changed your life in regards to you speaking words out of your mouth. Meaning, let's stay on this topic. And I want to invite, so I'm just going to open it up and let me see, who do we got here? I'd like to hear here, first of all. I always like to hear from Mark Binder. I want to hear from Mark Binder. Wow. Mark Binder, would you be willing to speak on this?
Sure, I could do my best here. Not only speaking the words that you want happening in the name of Yeshua, but also with the faith that it's going to happen. You know, like live your life as if it is going to happen in God's time. And I don't necessarily have a testimony about all that. That's just my the philosophy that I have, and through reading the Bible and everything. There's several examples in there of people that do exactly that. I think Abraham is a pretty good example, trusting God, especially when he was thinking he was going to have to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar, but then God provided a sacrifice for him. The angel stopped him from going forward on doing that. So Abraham had that kind of faith that we could really all use. And
right, and didn't Abraham say when his son asked him, "Well, where's the lamb?" And didn't he say, "The Lord will provide the lamb," or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, he spoke words of faith.
Yep. That's good. Yep. That's really all I have right now. So thanks for calling me.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Francine Wilson, do you have something to add about this, about how the power of spoken words you've seen a change in your life, or maybe have a testimony? Let me see if I have you on. Oh, there we go. There, you're unmuted now.
Personal, but I grew up very self-conscious of my looks, and so I used to just look at myself and just in the mirror and maybe not, you know, say things out loud with my mouth, but I used to think it. And the Lord said, that grieves me because I made you the way I made you, and I see you as perfect. So I really had to change the way I thought about myself. So even though I didn't verbalize them out loud, because you're right, words have power, but I had to change my thinking in that. So I feel better about myself, and I don't think so lowly. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Did you find that you had to start speaking truth out, or was it mainly inside your mind?
It had to be inside my mind, because I don't stand in front of the mirror and go, man, you're fat, or man, I wish you had a smaller weight. You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't know who does that. But so now when I look in the mirror, I'm like, you know what? I'm working out. I'm trying to lose weight, and I'm feeling good, and I'm going to keep going. I might have ate too much this weekend, but I'm going to get back up, because though I have a thing on in my workout room, it says that though I fall 7 times, I will get back up, or I will rise. And I just love that. It encourages me. And so I have to tell myself that all the time. I'm on a journey.
That's right. And we all are on a journey, and we all can get better. Thank you for sharing that. And is there anyone else that has a thought on the power of the spoken word and how you've seen it when you made a conscious effort to change what you speak? Is there anybody else? I have opened up the floor for anybody else to add a comment.
Mark?
Yes?
Okay, let me pass this over to my wife. She has a testimony.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I've shared this before, so some of you may already have heard it, but I used to pray when we lost children, and I didn't know the Word of God fully, but I used to pray, God, I know you can heal them. Would you please heal Angie, Lord, et cetera, et cetera. And then when we lost her and Bruce finally came to the Lord and I got in the Word more, I found out that I had a ministering angel working in my behalf. And I said, Lord, if I have a ministering angel working in my behalf, why did all these terrible things happen to me? And what he showed me, he gave me a vision, and I saw my angel standing like Mr. Clean with his arms crossed and his legs just planted. And the Holy Spirit said, because you have not spoken the word of God to put him to work. We need to speak the word of God to put our angels to work so we can see the victorious things that Yeshua has done for us and that he wants us to participate in. So I hope that helps somebody. God bless.
All right. Thank you very much, Linda, for sharing with us. That reminds me something I was just teaching a few days ago, that it's very hard to see in the faith realm when you don't know what the Word of God says. When you don't know how much God loves you, it's hard to say, God, I know that you love me. But once we get filled up with the Word of God and we can start speaking faith-filled words, we see that you can have power to change circumstances. And specifically regarding healing, I'm here to tell you that even though I may have been struggling with symptoms in my body, I read the word and I sell it and I just put the word of God deep inside of me for a long time, to the point that I started seeing myself inside my heart, my mind. I said, I am the healed of the Lord. And that's what came first. Then when I spoke and said, body, you are healed. Now act like it. Devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus. That's when faith started to work, because it was built on the foundation of the Word of God, and it overcame my pain and my suffering that I was going through, because the Word was so powerful, it was more important than severe spinal arthritis and the pain I was going through. And that's when things started to change. I said, body, you're healed. Knock it off. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have some experience like that where you were struggling with that, but the word of God was planted in your heart, faith rose up, you spoke words, and things happened? Does anybody else have a story like that? Speak up. You're unmuted.
Point of order?
Yes.
This is Alyssa Fornerata-Bregney from New Jersey Free State.
Hello there.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Hello. So actually, I had something recently, a few weeks ago, because I had to go I had to sit in one of those affidavit meetings, affidavit committee meetings. And for a whole hour prior to that, I had prayed to God, praying out loud and praying that I believe and I receive, and stating that multiple times. And I'll tell you what, God is just so good, because everything happened exactly the way that I asked him to make it happen. And I never doubt him. I also want to say that, so I'll self-disclose a little. My dad had cancer my whole life. He died when I was 15, but he was an amazing man, very spiritual man. And, one of the things that I share with my students when they go through difficult times, I'll share with them that I have a visual mantra, if you will. When I was a kid growing up, like, it was the one image of that helped me get through difficult times, when my dad was getting, was ill. And I would envision my hand, but really my hand is God's hand. Like, I would see myself on the floor, but I would visualize my hand, but it's also God's hand at the same time, picking myself up gently and moving myself gently forward as a way of saying, okay, Alyssa, like, you had your moment, and now it's time to pick yourself up and move forward. For kids, for youth, they seem to get that. So I work with youth, so that's why I'm sharing that piece. In case someone has a youth, it can be a very powerful image of God's hand, loving hand picking you up and moving you gently forward. But I've always believed in God, and always had a relationship with him, but I can't tell you how many times God has answered my prayers. I mean, because I did speak it out, and it's abundantly clear to me that when I speak it, and I don't just speak it like I'm just having a time by myself talking, but I'm speaking it with passion and with the utmost belief in God that he's going to make it happen. It just happens.
Yes.
And my friends always say, Alyssa, I don't know how you do it, but things always work out. I'm like, that's because I believe and I receive.
Yes.
I yield.
All right. Thank you, Alyssa. That's awesome. And I want to just say yes and amen. And I remember many years ago when my wife and I started understanding the power of the spoken word, spoken in faith. And when we started stepping into healing ministry and praying for others, it was at times, at first, we're like, wow, did you see what God just did? And you develop confidence as you go in the ability to speak words of faith. And you're like, no, God's going to do this. He was with me with the lion and the bear. He will be with me with this giant. So thank you for sharing that, Alyssa. Is there anyone else that has a story or a testimony similar to that that they would like to share regarding the power of the spoken word and stepping out in faith and speaking God's word? Does anyone else have something they want to share?
This is Jane.
Hello, this is Green.
Okay, repeat the first woman. Did you say Gail?
Jane. Green.
Oh, Jane. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Jane. Yeah.
All right. I was raised as a Catholic, but I ended up in a Messianic Jewish congregation because I had a Jewish husband, and not because he was going, because I was going. But in that congregation, there was a very strong Bible teaching going on. And, they, right in the beginning, talked about, praying in faith, believing for things. So I had this condition under my eyes that was itching and red, and I had it for like 2 or almost 3 years. And I was, you know, just so fed up with it. I had to keep putting a salve on it in order not to have it be itching. And then I must have listened to one of the teachings, I guess they were talking about in faith believing. And I just said, you know what? I am going to be healed. This is going away. And I'm not putting that salve on there anymore. I'm not going to use it at all. And if it starts itching, I'm just going to bear with it. And I'm not going to give in and put that salve back on. Well, within 2 weeks, it was completely gone and never came back. And I learned from that. And it was very early on with me for, you know, in terms of understanding all of this about the Bible, you know. Later on, I had a surgery that caused a problem for me. And in this congregation, they were doing what they called mikvah, but it was really baptism. And I said to myself, I'm going to go in that mikvah. And when I come up from that under that water, because they were using a pool, when I come up from under the water, I am going to be completely healed, and I'm not going to have a problem. It's going away. And the next day, I forgot to take my medicine with me that I had for it. And I was flying to Toronto, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't have that medicine. But then I said, wait a second, I don't have the problem. It was gone. It was completely gone. So it's something like that, without having that much knowledge about it, happened for me. And today, of course, I totally agree with what you were saying and what everyone on the call was saying in terms of, and Dutch Sheets, their approach. I also have another side to this, as far as I'm concerned, that I have been trying to, I guess, let people know about, which is repentance for the sins of the fathers. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, Jesus said, you know, he healed us of all of our, healed us, and all of our sins are forgiven, and therefore we don't have to do anything about that. But a medical doctor who knows the Bible very well said, if that were the case, then people would not be sick. They would not be, they wouldn't, there's something else going on that people need to address. In her case, she was talking about the physical body and the things that go on because of tension, anxiety, things like that. I came across myself, the sins of the fathers. And as far as that's concerned, and that is something that I addressed within the Republic, which had to do with a prayer that was, again, that was a repentance for involvement in Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. And it was moving, you know, the curses and witchcraft and spells and powers that they might have visited upon the members at the time. A lot of these people don't realize that it passes down through the generations, so they don't think it, they think it's just them. They don't know what's going to the family. And so a lot of people don't even know the actual commandments about this, because it's kind of eliminated from all of the lists of what the Ten Commandments are. When it says, you shall not bow down to them, it's talking about idols, but you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am jealous, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And so, I'm telling this story because my brother died young, and when he was brought into the mausoleum that they had at the time, I noticed there were two other people who were relatives who had the same name. His name was Peter, and they all had the same name, all same last name. And then I noticed they all had wives named Mary, and each of them died from cancer. My brother had aplastic anemia, which is a form of cancer. So all of these things dawned on me. I said, there's something that was passed down through the bloodline, you know. And so my housekeeper that I had was at the time came to my house and said, you know, my brother is dying. He's bleeding internally. They told him he only has 1 month to live. He's 40 years old. He has 3 children. And I said, listen, we can just do a prayer for him. Let's see if this makes any sense. Let's do this prayer. I said, we can just repent for the sins of the fathers and your family, because you're his sister and you're related, and maybe something will happen. Well, that day, he stopped bleeding, and he never died. So I know from experience that this makes sense, that there's something to this, and it's not. And this girl was a believer herself, so it wasn't like, oh, she's not a believer. No, she was.
So you found that speaking words of faith in that situation was what became powerful. And I want to interject something here, if I may, that in Galatians 3:13, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I have spent time talking with hundreds and hundreds of people about these types of things. But when faith-filled spoken words, they have power.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of confusion in the body of Christ about those types of things, but Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law. And there's things that are handed down through the generations that must be stopped in the name of Jesus. But we are set free by the power of the blood of Jesus and his words. And in fact, you know, there's even scriptures that talk about that you shall no more speak those things. And I was just actually looking for a scripture regarding that. Because when you speak about this passing down the iniquity to the third and fourth generation, we also must remember that was written in, that was in Exodus 1400, maybe 1500 BC. And then I go fast forward to in Deuteronomy. But then when we get into Ezekiel in chapter 18, it says that these kind of things you shall no longer speak. And the entire chapter 18 of Ezekiel speaks about all of these generational things that you shall say no more. He says, what do you mean when you use this proverbs concerning the land of Israel, saying the fathers have eaten sour grapes, therefore the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. And the entire chapter of 18 goes through every possible type of situation, saying that no more is this going to happen because you are redeemed. And Galatians 3:13 confirms we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And again, it's speaking those words of faith. I don't care what my past is. I am free from Freemasonry. I am free from this. I am free from this. Jesus bore the price and he said, you are free. He paid the price for me. And so it is a big challenge to overcome these kinds of things, especially when people have been taught that you have nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it is.
One more story to tell you about sins of the fathers, okay? My mother was diagnosed with emphysema. Her relative is Winston Churchill, who's a 33rd degree Mason. And I did the prayer of release from Freemasonry with her. If I don't know if you know that emphysema is considered incurable. So I did the prayer of release. I addressed the specific situation where they cursed the lungs. And we broke the power of this because she went to the doctor and it was gone. Okay, so I'm trying to point out something about we are redeemed from all of the sins of the fathers. We are. But I think we might have to do something about it. That's all. And maybe stand in and repent for the sins of the fathers, going all the way back to Adam and all the way forward through all the generations. Down to this one.
Right, going to cover all the generations. That way we don't miss anything. Well, and Jane, I understand what you're saying, but being in faith-filled, see, I was, when I got born again 30-some years ago, whatever, I realized that I had been living under the curse of what was spoken over me the first 30 years of my life. And so I believed it. I believed all the curses. And because of all the curses that were spoken over me, I had exactly what they spoken. But then a friend of mine said, why are you putting up with that? And I didn't understand really what he said, but then he began to mentor me, and over a period of,
No, it does have to do with actually believing it, definitely. But yes. If you don't even know, end up with a disease like emphysema. You don't even know that it's coming on you, and there it is, and then we do a prayer, and then it's gone. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's, praise the Lord, that lines up with the Word of God and the Spirit and the character and nature of God. Let me go on, and I want to cover a few more scriptures here. Jane, thank you very much for sharing. I want to cover John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all, but the words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's in Colossians 3, verse 8. Now I want to jump to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Praise the Lord. The Word of God has an answer to every one of our challenges. Just like you mentioned, Jane, when you speak faith-filled words, it doesn't matter what the doctors say. We have a final report that Jesus says all things are possible to him who believes, and I would add, and speaks faith-filled words. Praise the Lord. I thank you for that. Father, I pray that everybody here we can just hear your Spirit, that we can learn how to soak in your Word, hear from the Holy Spirit, and speak your faith-filled words that contains power. The written Word, the name of Jesus, has power. Father, I pray that everyone hearing here would take it up a notch and understand, and Holy Spirit, show them where we can improve upon these things and speak faith-filled words instead of just letting the devil kick in the door. But no, we learn how to resist the devil, and he shall flee from us. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I wanted to open up to anyone else. I think that there was someone before Jane that wanted to speak, she didn't have an opportunity. Did you want to unmute yourself and speak at this time, or did we cover everybody regarding speaking words of faith-filled words and seeing it change your life?
That could have been me.
Okay, we had three people there. Let's try this again. Somebody speak up. Go ahead.
Hello, Mark. This is and good evening, everyone. I do have a testimony of the spoken and powerful it is.
Wonderful.
This is at least 20 years ago, and my son at the time, life wasn't going real well for him. He had a wife and a toddler and a new baby. And he landed on the streets, and I was I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of anxiety. His would give me reports of what she knew, and I had that he was going to die with his circumstance. And I had a very strong impression from the Spirit of the Lord that I should take this and them down and put my name and speak them aloud. And I you know, have a practice of, for decades, of doing the Read the Bible in a Year program. So know the Word of God, and each day continue forward. Say, oh, there's another. Ed put his name in there. And I had so much anxiety that I could hardly function, just out of, it was fear that I would lose him. And found that I would have to speak the scripture out, and I'd never heard any teachings on this, but doing it several times a day, and you know, even at work, if I found myself so filled with fear that it was hard to function, and I found that it made the fear go away. It made the anxiety go away. And so the fear and the anxiety were within a piece. And I found that I was having read aloud my scriptures several times a day. And I found that I was growing stronger, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, although I didn't that just yet. But I found that twice a day, and if any hit me, I would just continue on speaking the word. And in 3 months, he showed up at my door. And I won't get into the rest of this, but I can tell you that he came to salvation. And what happened to me is I had a lot of questions on what just happened. And I said, well, you know, the word is the sword. It's the sword of the Lord. And it's for then individual. So I thought I was, you know, been out there in cyberspace with my sword. But I came to learn the months after that faith does come by hearing the Word of God, and our spirit man, tripartite being, to us is the spirit being. We know that because we see when someone dies, they're could have in the casket. They're not in there. The real us is the spirit man. We have a soul, that's the mind, the will, emotions, and we live in a body. So we take in the word, and it's written on the table of our hearts. It's written. It's one with us. That is all. We own that word, and we begin speaking it with ownership, with authority, and it's happened. So, in my experience, and I'll say that the sword got sharpened through the year as I see more scriptures, and I went, oh, I want that one. I'm going to speak that one aloud, write it down. My sword has been polished quite a bit of years, and we supernatural because the Word of God is. And we have the Spirit of God. As believers, we're filled with the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. And we speak the Word. Yes. And to be obedient to the Lord as we occupy, as we take in. Thanks so much for this time. And bless you all. I yield.
Thank you very much, Jean. That was beautiful. And I just say amen and amen. That was just wonderful. So I'm going to pause right here and play the shofar. Thank you. Hallelujah. That is wonderful. I just thank you all for sharing. Was there anyone else that spoken up earlier that, and we had a little collision of voices? I think I heard two other voices. Maybe I thought one was Governor Carpenter. Anyone else want to share a testimony and a story or something about the power of the spoken word, faith-filled words? If so, just unmute. Okay, who's this?
It's Adrian.
Oh, hello.
Adrian. Hi. Yeah, I've had some experiences in my life, and recently I've had a miraculous healing a couple of weeks ago. So I've been thinking and thinking, and I've come to a conclusion that these injuries and illnesses keep us from fulfilling our potential, our mission that God has planned for us. This is Satan and his minions throwing roadblocks intentionally, you know, an attempt to prevent us from succeeding. And every time I have spoken of a need, it was from a place of sincerity and not from greed. And it was for the sake of being able to perform service or, you know, love and helping people. So it definitely was not for self. And the last one, before I was healed 2 weeks ago, 2 days prior, I spoke out loud. And when I speak out loud, I don't have to call God's name or anything. He already knows. That's who I'm talking to, my Lord. And I said out loud, I want to be free of this pain so I can get more work done. And 2 days later, I spoke with somebody, and I had an angelic healing. And after 37 years of pain, and hardly being able to walk a few hundred feet before having to sit down, I have set records. Yesterday, I walked and walked and walked with my dog. I am still out of pain. I'm in awe of this healing. My back muscles are a little stiff because they're weak, because they haven't been used in since 2014 like I was used to, because that was when I had a car accident that double did me in. And there was another time back in 2023, when I had become ill, very ill, within a two-hour period. I was feeling fantastic, and then I gave somebody a hug who had just been very vaccinated, and I guess they call that shedding. So that's real. And every cell in my body hurt. Every cell. I was so sick for 9 days. I didn't have a fever or anything. I just felt every cell in my body was suffering. And I couldn't even sleep because the pain just racked everything, everywhere. And I was in absolute tears. And it was 2:00 in the morning, and I sat up in bed in tears, not being able to sleep. And I cried out, and I said, all I wanted to do was hug my son. And through these closed eyes full of tears, there was a huge white flash of light, like a blue beam on the bottom. I saw this through my eyelids. And I opened my eyes, and I was like, what was that? And then I noticed all the pain was gone. So speaking out loud of a need, and that need was, I just wanted to express love for my son by hugging him without being harmed. And now right. I hug him all the time, and I've Praise been okay. The
Praise the Lord. Adrian, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That is faith-filled words spoken out. And you said from a place of need, and it's amazing how God is so gracious. He answers prayer. And I just want to encourage everyone here who might be listening that you may be thinking to yourself, I've prayed this prayer 1,000 times for maybe the return of a wayward child or of a chronic illness or something. But I want to encourage you to fill yourself up and find specific scriptures that relate to what you are going through and put those into your heart and sow them into your heart and ask the Lord to show you the power of his word for healing or for the return of a child or for whatever it may be, because God loves you and cares deeply for you. And I could sit here and tell you stories for just for hours and hours, and I'm sure many of you could. But the point we wanted to summarize, it does not matter what you're going through. Be encouraged, dear child. God loves you. He wants you to speak his words and see his power manifested in your life. And I wanted to share one more scripture from you out of Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 20, when Jesus is talking to some people. Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 17, "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Jesus makes it very clear, for out of the heart is what matters, not what goes into your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth. It proceeds from the heart, and the heart can be changed. And I want to encourage some of you who may think, and I've been trying to change my stinking thinking, but I'm telling you that your heart, your soul can be changed by putting into and impregnating the seed, the imperishable seed of the Word of God, over and over again. And the stony heart can become soft, because the Word of God is imperishable, and you put words of faith into your heart and you will change. You cannot possibly put the Word of God in over and over and over for years and years and years and not have your heart be changed. I refuse to believe that. I have seen it in my own life, coming from a very, very negative situation. My first 5 years as a Christian, I struggled with depression because I had stinking thinking, and I had to renew my mind according to the Word of God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you are struggling with any sort of chronic situation, sickness, or chronic financial situations, put the Word of God deep into your heart over and over again, and get around other people. And I would even say, on a specific subject like healing, get your top 10 scriptures and put them deep into your heart to where you can speak them out and you can say, "Yes, I know that this is going on, but God's word says this, and this is the way it shall be in the name of Jesus." And you will see the power of God manifest in your life. And I'm sure, Bruce, that you being involved, as you were sharing with me earlier, you could experience hundreds and hundreds of times where you have seen this happen. Did you want to speak to this subject, Bruce?
Well, several scriptures coming to mind. Number one would be Hebrews 11:1.
Right.
This is an interesting scripture. If you read it in the King James, and I'm winging it here, so this is Dietler translation, but Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report," and it goes on and on. Now, many years ago, Fred Price, a black minister out of California, very dynamic teacher of the word, follower of Kenneth Hagin and so on. But anyway, he taught on that verse, and it really, really stuck with me. He said, now it starts out saying, "Now faith is." And he said, now stop there. Now faith is. Turn that around. Faith is now. Now faith is now. Faith is not in the future. "Lord, would you do this in the future?" Or, "I believe I'm going to be," or, "I would like to be." No, in the name of Jesus, I am. Faith is now. Let that one sink in. That is that scripture by itself. you know, lack of teaching in many churches. You know, we pray, Lord, if it be thy will, yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, he's already given us his will. It's his testament in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. If I were, I am. Isaiah 53:5, the same thing. Himself bore our sicknesses, carry our diseases, and by his stripes ye were healed. So, you know, we have scriptures. It is done. It's not something we have to ask for, beg for, plead for, cry for, fast for. Speak the word. It's already there. That is the testimony of the Lord, the testimony of the word. We are overcomers by the blood of Yeshua and by the testimony of his word.
And it puts our angels
Psalm 103:20, it puts our ministering angels to work in our behalf. Another thing I will speak briefly, and I have shared this in the past. Many of you were not on the calls back at that day when I did this, but there was a minister, and we just went through the same conversation with Robert yesterday.
Which is funny. Hilarious.
But there was an itinerant minister back in the early part of this last century from, I believe, from Tennessee. His name is G.C. Bevington. Not a real common household name, but a minister of faith. He lived by faith, and he was just a traveling evangelist. He went from town to town on foot, believed God. He spent one whole winter living in a hay mound because he had no place else to stay.
Oh,
he would come out every day and preach and so on and go back to his hay mound at night. But the story that really struck me, and this is, you know, say, for example, you have an individual, a loved one you're praying for, and you say, well, if I could only lay hands on him and pray and so on. You don't need to do that. The testimony of G.C. Bevington was he came into this one little town, and he was wanting, obviously, to preach. That's what the Lord had him doing. But he came into this one little town, and there was already a traveling evangelist who had planted himself there in a storefront, and he was having desire to have storefront meetings. So, you know, he put out the sign and so on. Well, Bevington saw this and said, well, great. Well, I'll just go and support him. So he went to this individual's storefront and come time to preach. And he had introduced himself to the minister and so on. So the guy knew that he was also a traveling minister. But it came time to preach and nobody was there. Nobody had showed up. It was just Bevington and the minister. Well, come time to preach, just the two of them, well, they didn't just pack up and go home. The minister got up, went to the pulpit, and preached his heart out for about an hour and a half to nobody, just Bevington. And at the end of the time, he was done. He prayed. He sat down. And Bevington asked, "What just happened? What did you do? What was this all about?" And he said, "It doesn't matter who's here. I am called to speak the word, and I speak the word with boldness in expectation. The word will manifest itself." About that time, an individual came bursting through the door, ran to the altar, fell on his face, and cried out for salvation. The word works. It doesn't matter if the person is there or not. Speak the word. Speak God's word, not your wishes, your desire. God, you said by your word, by Yeshua, by Jesus' stripes, my loved one was healed. I speak that healing into manifestation in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He said the work is done. He completed the work on the cross. He said it is finished. It is completed. And I say it is mine according to the word. So therefore, devil, take your hands off my loved one. You have no authority. You have no root. I break your hold. I break your power in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. He is free indeed. And the one who the Son has set free, the word says, is free indeed. So be encouraged. The word works. It is not, God is no respecter of person. What he did for Bevington back in the early parts of the last century, he will do for you now, this day, and for your loved ones if you speak faith now, not in the future, now. The word is now. Praise God.
Wow. Thank you, Bruce. That was beautiful. And I say yes and amen to that. That is my heart, too. And being in the ministry, healing evangelism ministry, there's many times where we have opportunities to speak something contrary to the word because it doesn't look like anything is happening. I believe that it's especially when a person is struggling with long-term things and they've never seen success. It's hard to speak those faith-filled words, but remember what I said earlier. You must fill your heart with the Word of God. And by planting those seeds over, I'm going to go to Mark chapter 4 and explain this quickly. Not quickly. I'm not going to say quickly. Stop saying that, Mark. Okay, I'm not doing it quickly. Mark chapter 4, where this is the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to skip down to where the disciples come to Jesus and they said, what was that all about, Jesus? And Jesus said to them, Mark chapter 4, verse 11, after saying the parable of the sower, he says to the disciples, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? And I want to pause right there and say that Jesus is saying to us, I am about to tell you something that is so powerful. It'll change your life when you grab a hold of this. And it's called the parable of the sower. And I'm going to title this, How's Your Dirt? Let that one sink in. Mark 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This, go back to verse 14. The sower sows the word, so the word is the seed. Your heart is the dirt. And verse 15, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. How's your dirt? Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I add again, how's your dirt? Remember, the seed is the word of God. It goes into the dirt, which is our heart. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I want to share with you folks that maybe this is just kind of a silly, but I just say our heart is the soil. It's the dirt. So I'm going to ask you, how's your dirt? Is the word of God landing in your dirt and nothing produces because it's stony, it's concrete, it's a dry path? Or are there weeds? Or are there stones? And who's responsible to till the soil? And I would say we are. by continuing to believe and sow and research and read and study and get around other people who can encourage you to till the soil of your heart to become the fourth type of soil where you can produce some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. And I say that at one time or another, my heart has been one of the four different types. I used to be the stony path, and then I was the rocky soil, and then I was the weedy soil. But now I say, praise the Lord, because the seed has been sown continuously, and I've been tilling up the ground. Now I am that one that some 30, some 60, some 100-fold because of God's grace. And I'm saying the same thing to every one of you out there, that God's word is so powerful that even on a stony soil, if you continue to seek the word, seek the Lord, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will produce healing in your life, blessing, prosperity, sanctification, redemption. It's all yours. It's already done. It is our hearts that need to have the soil tilled to produce good fruit in the kingdom of God. Going back to John chapter 15:8. Yes. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's when the words abide in you and you abide in Christ. And I say hallelujah to this. I'm preaching myself happy. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God is good. And I am telling you that this comes through, like Gene had mentioned earlier, going through a time of trial. Many times as we get older, we have trials. But when you see the faithfulness of God and you persist in the word, you shall see the fruit come forth, because you are connected to the vine and you will bear much fruit, and God gets the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are we at with the clock? Oh, it's about 4 till 8 o'clock. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Bruce, what do we do next?
Unmute my phone for one. Generally, we will have communion.
Right. Is someone prepared to give present communion for us? I am not tonight. Is there someone here that has done communion with Robert before that's willing to do that, like Bruce or Mark or Jonathan? Who else? Yes.
I don't mind saying a communion prayer if you like.
Okay, is this Alyssa?
It is.
Okay. That would be just fine, Alyssa.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, mindful of the sacredness of this moment. Your word reminds us of the Last Supper, where Jesus and his disciples gathered around the table. We took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and according to 1 Corinthians 11:24, you said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we ask you to bless this bread as we eat it. May we remember Christ's body broken for us and the incredible love that led him to the cross. Likewise, Jesus took the cup, saying in Corinthians 11:25, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Lord, bless this cup as we drink. May we reflect on the blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, the seal of your eternal covenant with us. Let it remind us of the grace and mercy you've lavished upon us. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this blessing. Consecrate this bread and cup as Christ Yeshua's sacrifice. May we partake with reverence, humility, and hearts overflowing with gratitude, strengthen our faith, and renew our commitment to live as reflections of your love. We bless this bread and cup in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Alyssa. That was beautiful.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. I am going to end the recording here, and then we're going to open up to final